Coming up on Encouragement Live, is generosity only for those with a lot of money? We'll talk with Roxanne Intermule about how we're to respond to God's call for generosity, regardless of our circumstances. That's just ahead on Encouragement Live.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, Steve. And friend, it's so good to have you with us as live from studios located in First Christian Church of Wylie, Texas. Encouragement Communications presents Encouragement Live. As Steve just told you, our mission is to provide biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical issues. One of those is money. There's a lot in Scripture about money, and back with us to talk about it is Roxanne Intermule of HisFaithfulStewards.com. Roxanne, there's a lot in the Bible on the subject of money. In fact, I think at one point you may have said more than heaven and hell. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know about heaven and hell, but I know there's more than there is on prayer.
That is pretty amazing. And by the way, let me just state right up front tonight, His Faithful Stewards is making available a free series of financial videos that help you learn your options for retirement savings. And you can sign up at HisFaithfulStewards.com. Again, that's a free video series. They're short, 3 to 5 minutes, and they can help you maximize your retirement money. There's no charge for those, but you do need to sign up at the website, HisFaithfulStewards.com. Now, Roxanne, when we think about people who were commended or rewarded for generosity, what scripture passages come to mind?
Well, there's two that come to mind immediately. The first one is in 1 Kings 17. I mean, the land of Israel has been suffering from a long famine, and then we see a widow who has enough flour and oil left for one more meal. She's actually expecting to make her last meal for her family and die. It's kind of bleak sounding.
Oh, it is, yeah.
But then Elijah is sent to her, and he asks for a piece of bread. And when she makes a small cake of bread for Elijah first, her flour and oil are restored. And then they don't run dry throughout the rest of the famine.
That's a miracle, then, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And later, when her son falls ill and dies, Elijah brings him back to life. Mm. So her generosity had resulted in her having provisions throughout the famine, but it also resulted in a miraculous healing of her son.
What an amazing account that is. Again, 1 Kings 17. Now, there are a number of principles that come to the surface in this story. I think the first one would be faith, because obviously she had absolutely nothing. She was at the point, as I recall, it said she was making her last meal, and Elijah said, "Fix me a little cake first." Sounds like faith to me.
Yeah, it certainly does. And interestingly, she served him first, and so Now we're talking about first fruits, you know?
Yeah, and I believe I was told at a very early age that God's share of your money comes first, doesn't come last. There are some people who believe, you know, I believe in tithing or grace giving if I have any money left at the end of the month. That's not the principle. And obviously, if you think about this, dear lady, sacrificial giving would be at the heart of what she did. She, you know, like the widow that Jesus saw in the New Testament who cast her two mites in. I think that those two women are going to be heroines in heaven, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I think so. Yes, Jesus really praised the widow with the widow's mite. And, you know, interesting, nobody else was noticing, but Jesus drew the disciples' attention to her and talked about the fact that that tiny little coin that she was putting in was the greatest gift because it was everything she had to live on.
And tonight, maybe you're not a very wealthy person, but you want to be generous in serving the Lord. And maybe you have a question about generosity and God's provision. Maybe you're struggling to make ends meet. You have a question for us, or maybe you're nearing retirement with some questions about that. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. That's 855-586-5433. And we'll be back with more right after these important messages. Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarborough on the story of Scripture.
It's a two-day seminar that walks individuals from Genesis to Revelation and tells the grand story of God and what He is doing.
Don't miss your opportunity to find your place in the greatest story ever told.
And we find out by the time we get to the Gospels, it's all about Jesus.
To learn more or sign up, visit thestoryofscripture.org, thestoryofscripture.org.
In Hebrew, the number 18 symbolizes life. It's Chai, a word that echoes hope and blessings. The Master Life Coach Training Institute, Agape Care International, and the Fund for Victims of Terror extend this lifeline to Israeli military and their families, offering trauma assistance during these challenging times.
You can stand with Israel by donating as little as $18 at mymlcti.com, providing training and support to volunteers who uplift broken hearts.
Donate now. Be a blessing.
Tonight on Encouragement Live, God's provisions and a generous heart, two things that God is in favor of and one that God does. 855-586-5433 is our toll-free number. Roxanne Intermule is with me tonight. She is with HisFaithfulStewards.com. And Roxanne, we talked in the first segment about 1 Kings 17, that amazing widow in the Old Testament who literally gave her last little bit of food to provide for the prophet Elijah, and then saw the oil not run dry and saw her son raised to life. You said there were a couple of passages that had come to mind. What's the other one that you have?
Well, we kind of talked about that one, too. That was the one about the widow's mite that we were talking about, how Jesus had praised her for the tiny bit she put in, but it was everything she had to live on.
And Jesus drew his attention, the disciples' attention to her, and pointed out that she gave more than all those other people. Apparently, they were giving quite a bit of money, at least, and it was interesting to read that narrative as it was described in the Gospels. But Jesus praised her for being sacrificial. Now, are there some other passages that you have seen that focus on generosity?
Oh, yeah, I think there's a lot of them in the Bible, but certain ones just kind of come to mind. When we look at the building of the temple in the Old Testament, the Israelites were called to bring precious metals and valuable gems for the construction. They were to give some of their best stuff and from their abundance to build a beautiful temple for the Lord. They were to give some of the richest and most valuable treasures that they had for the temple because they were called to sacrifice.
You know, I think about the building of the temple, and earlier in Israel's history, there was the building of the tabernacle. Exodus 35, God told Moses to tell the people, from what you have taken offering for the Lord, include gold and silver and bronze and blue and purple and scarlet yarn and fine linen and goat hair and ram skins and hides of sea cows and acacia wood and olive oil and spices and fragrant incense and onyx stones and other gems. So apparently those people who had been able to, shall we say, borrow some things from their Egyptian neighbors went out with quite a resource. And then they not only gave of their money, and it says in verse 29 of Exodus 35, all the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work that the Lord had commanded Moses. That, to me, I did some research on this, Roxanne. 1,900 pounds of gold, 6,400 pounds of silver, 4,500 pounds of bronze, and some amazing artistry, all to really glorify God through the tabernacle that they were taking with them.
Oh, that's a lot. That was wonderful.
I'd have to say that was generosity to the max. And again, your reference about the tabernacle, the temple, no question about that. What an amazing thing that was. Now, the Passover lamb, talk to us about that. There's something special about that lamb, as we found out in Exodus chapter 12.
Yeah, well, the Passover lamb was also a valuable lamb. I mean, it was a perfect lamb. It had no defects of any kind. And the Passover lamb lived in their homes up until the time of slaughter, which meant that they kind of got emotionally attached to them, and they probably were a bit like pets.
Hmm.
So not only were they of higher monetary value, but they also had some emotional attachment as well.
We'll be right back on Encouragement Live.
In the heart of tradition, where each letter carries weight, the number 18 stands tall. In Hebrew, it's Chai, the very essence of life, a symbol woven into the fabric of Jewish culture. At celebrations, we toast L'chaim, to life, anticipating joy and prosperity. Now, the Master Life Coach Training Institute, Agape Care International, and the Fund for Victims of Terror channel this ancient blessing to those who need it most.
In the shadow of conflict, Israeli soldiers and their families face the toll of war. Let's stand with Israel by donating just $18 at mymlcti.com.
Your gift, less than a family meal at some fast food restaurants, can nourish souls by training volunteers dedicated to mending spirits shattered by crisis.
Visit mymlcti.com to make a donation. That's mymlcti.com.
Sat7 is satellite Christian television.
Dr. Rex Rogers, president of Sat7.
We broadcast throughout the Middle East and North Africa every day, 24/7, in Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish. Farsi is Iran. So we're speaking in a people's home and heart language. We're sharing the gospel.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. That's S-A-T, the number 7, USA.org.
Toni King on her new book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I, TonySays.com. If you just joined us, the program is Encouragement Live. I'm Don Hawkins. Member of our team, Brad Smithart, produced this music you're listening to, and you can Google him, Brad Smithart, and find out some of the other music that he has produced. And I appreciate all of our staff members, Brad and Nikki, who are not with us tonight. Pray for them. They're a little under the weather. Also, pray for Rodney, who is traveling right now, and we're glad to have Danny and Chris and Cora handling things tonight in the studio here, and Roxanne Intermule providing us with great insights. Roxanne, you were talking about the value of the Passover lamb, and I think a lot of us maybe have missed that element in the story of the Passover lamb in Exodus chapter 12, because you pointed out it's not only a perfect lamb, but it actually probably became a pet in the family. I think about the story that Nathan told David. You remember the account that he gave in 2 Samuel chapter 12 in confronting David over his sinful behavior, and likened it to a rich man who took the one lamb that was like a family pet to a poor family and butchered that lamb to feed a guest who had come in. Yeah, you may recall that story.
Yes. Yes, I do. Yeah. And I just, the Passover lamb was very much a sacrifice for them. I mean, it was just like as costly to them as, I mean, very costly to them, a lot like, you know, when God gave Jesus as a sacrifice for us.
Yeah.
I mean, it cost the Israelites to give their prized lamb, and it cost God to give Jesus.
Yeah, and we don't always think about the sacrifice. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And we may be talking to someone, Roxanne, tonight who has not yet trusted Christ as Savior. And we're talking about generosity and giving, and those are very important things. We want to talk about a generous heart and God's provision. But the main thing God has provided for us is salvation, and it's by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a free gift of God. Tonight, friend, if you have any question about whether you have trusted Christ as Savior, or maybe there's somebody in your family that you'd like us to pray for, that they will come to faith in Christ, our toll-free number is 855-586-5433, especially if we can share with you how you can be sure that you've trusted Christ, 855-586-LIFE. Roxanne, I think of 2 Corinthians 8, which talks about the generosity of the Macedonian church. They were going through extreme poverty, and yet they still practiced generosity. What do you think we can learn from that example in 2 Corinthians 8?
Well, the passage says that they gave beyond their ability. Hmm. And they actually pleaded with Paul to let them give to the collection for the saints. I mean, to me, that indicates that Paul was nudging them to actually restrain more, you know, restrain themselves a bit, hold that money back during that time of poverty. But instead, they were more driven by a desire to share with others rather than being focused on their own shortages. I mean, they considered giving to be a privilege, not an obligation.
In fact, I've used the illustration that if you saw some people today that were jumping up and rushing to grab the ushers and put their money in the offering plate in a Sunday morning church service, that was the kind of attitude that those Macedonians seemed to have. Now, in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, Paul talks about giving according to what we have decided in our hearts. We're not to give reluctantly. We're not to give out of compulsion or obligation to do so. Tell us what you think this shows about attitudes that we need to cultivate toward giving.
Well, that passage even goes on to say that God loves a cheerful giver. I mean, he wants our hearts to desire to give to him. I think about what it would be like to get a birthday present or a gift just simply because the other person felt obligated. I mean, the gift wouldn't mean much to me if I knew that was how they felt. And in the same way, the Lord doesn't want us to begrudge giving to him. It's not some obligation. He wants us to give from the joy of being able to share in his work. After all, we're responding to the greatest giver who gave his son for us.
Yeah, no question about that. That's a wonderful thought. And Paul said, give not grudgingly nor of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. And I looked up that word cheerful, Roxanne, and it is literally the Greek wording that we would pronounce hilarious. And we think of something that's hilarious. I mean, that's just something that you're absolutely delighted with and laughing about. And, you know, it's not that long-faced attitude. By the way, friend, I want to mention something very important. His Faithful Stewards has put together a free financial video series to help you learn about your options for retirement savings. You can sign up to watch those videos at hisfaithfulstewards.com. That's a free video series, and they're short, 3 to 5 minute videos, and they help you maximize your retirement money. Again, you can sign up at hisfaithfulstewards.com. I suspect, Roxanne, you were the person who recorded those videos. Is that correct?
No, actually, they are professionally recorded by some other people.
Okay. Just thought I'd check on that. Didn't know for sure. Ask a question, you usually need to know the answer. Now, why do you think the Lord calls his people to give sacrificially? Why do you think that's so important to the Lord?
Well, first, I think he wants us to have faith that he will provide for our basic needs. He tells us in Matthew 6:33 that if we seek him and his righteousness first, that our daily provisions will be given to us. And second, Jesus also said that where our treasure is, that's where our hearts will be also. So if we're too focused on accumulating things in this life, it's going to pull our heart away from the Lord. So we need to hold our resources in an open hand and know that everything belongs to the Lord and that he is our treasure.
Well, that's an important principle. But do you think that means that we could be careless with our money and then just rely on God to provide?
Well, no, not really, because we need to balance all of the teaching from the Bible. And while the Bible calls for cheerful givers and sacrificial giving, it also calls us to good stewardship with what God gives us. When God leads us to give generously, we need to respond to him. But we also need to steward money well and see some of the money growing. We need to be wise. I mean, there are three biblical principles for money: to live, to give, and to grow. And we're called to be doing all three with the money that God gives us.
I think I've heard you use those three words before: live, give, and grow. By the way, our toll-free number is 855-586-5433. If you have a question for us, maybe about preparing for retirement, or maybe you're already retired and just in the process of trying to make ends meet, or looking to do what God would have you to do in terms of generosity, give us a call, 855 855- 1-800-586-LIFE. You know, God provides for his people in different ways at different times. I think we learn a lot about that when we look at how God provides for the children of Israel. Think about them wandering in the desert in Exodus, and we touched on the fact that they gave generously for the tabernacle. Roxanne, what are some of the different ways that God provided for them?
Well, first he provided their miraculous escape when he parted the sea for them. They saw no hope of escape from their circumstances, but God delivered them. And when they needed food, God sent manna every morning from heaven. When they cried for meat, God sent quail. When they needed water, God provided water from the rock. And interestingly, God provided well for his people, but it wasn't money that they needed. Sometimes we get caught up thinking that God only provides with money.
Yeah, good thought there. Have you ever had a time when God taught you about ways that he provided?
Yes, actually so. I was a young adult, and I was working morning and afternoon shifts before and after school for the YMCA. And my savings account was dwindling as I, you know, and I continued to work there. And my savings account had gotten down under $100, and I was getting very uncomfortable and starting to whine to the Lord a bit about it. And he said, you know, Lord, the money's running out. I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I going to get food? And I just kept feeling the strong nudging of, you're going to trust me.
Yeah.
And the next day, I got a call from a friend. She invited me over to dinner, and then she sent all the leftovers home with me that provided for the next couple of days. And so I kind of scratched my head to say, okay, I got that message. I said, but, you know, that doesn't just show up like that. No friend's going to call and give me a bunch of clothes. You know, I need clothes. I need things like that just to live. And someone in the apartment building came down from upstairs the next day and knocked on my door and said, you know, you and I are about the same size, and I'm cleaning out my closet. Do you want to look through all my clothes and see if there's anything there you want? And I said, okay, I hear, you know, you provided that way. I said, but, you know, I have a car. It needs insurance. It needs gas in it. You know, the tank's almost empty right now. I'm just, you know. And the next day I got a call. There was a missionary home on furlough that needed a car for the afternoon. And she took my car out and brought it back with a quarter tank of gas in it.
Isn't that amazing? All these different things that you kept bringing up to the Lord, and he just kept meeting each one of those needs. That is incredible.
Yeah, it was. And it was a lesson learned young. And so, but it was, and I've never forgotten it.
You know, I was a great deal younger, and I recall an incident. We were down to my fourth year at Dallas Seminary. We had crammed 4 years into five because we had gotten behind and needed to do some work to replenish the funds that we had. We had twin daughters, and so it was quite a challenge for Kathy and me. And at the end of the summer, as we were prepared and we had taken a church in Louisiana, we had $7,000 in the bank. And I thought, now this is really incredible. Why do we have this $7,000? We went through the fall semester. We went through the Christmas break. We went through the spring semester. And when I came down to the week of graduation, you'll never believe how much money we had in our bank account. We were down to less than $100. God had provided that $7,000 in advance, knowing exactly what we needed. And of course, I had some, you know, some working and some cushion in there, some ministry. But by the same token, God knew exactly what we need. Now, friend, if you just joined us, I want to remind you again about the free financial video series that Roxanne has provided to help you learn your options for retirement savings. You can sign up to watch those at hisfaithfulstewards.com. I believe, Roxanne, you send those out every week. Is that correct?
Yes, those go out by email, and they're just little 3 to 5 minute videos.
Yeah, so you're not going to be spending an hour at a time wading through stuff. But they're free video series. They're short, 3 to 5 minutes. They help you maximize your retirement money. And you can sign up for those at hisfaithfulstewards.com. Now, we have some very important material still to go in our program tonight. If you'd like to join the conversation about generosity and God's provision and a generous heart, you can give us a call at 855-586-5433. Or you can reach out to Roxanne personally and set up a time on the website to get back and forth with her with text messages or even to have a conversation with her, and there's no charge for that. Again, that's at hisfaithfulstewards.com. And our toll-free number is 855-586-5433.
Here's a conversation from hisfaithfulstewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to hisfaithfulstewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's hisfaithfulstewards.com.
Dr. Frank Minerth was a pioneer in Christian counseling, and I had the privilege of working with him for several years.
Christian psychiatrist Dr. Tom Schoaf of the Hope Speaks Clinic in suburban Dallas.
I'm looking for Christian psychiatrists, psychologists, and therapists who would be willing to join me in carrying on Dr. Minerth's legacy.
To learn about working with Dr. Schoaf and his team of Christian professionals at Hope Speaks Clinic, you may visit hopespeaks.com/opportunity.
When you need to consider independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a distinctly Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at restorationsl.com. That's restorationsl.com.
For over 30 years, Don Hawkins has provided radio encouragement with a variety of gifted guests. Now you can be encouraged by these interviews with guests like Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, Dr. Frank Minerth, Josh McDowell, and more. Subscribe to the weekly Encouragement for You podcast, dropping Wednesdays at lifeaudio.com or at your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Tonight on the program, Roxanne Intermule of HisFaithfulStewards.com is with me on the program, and our topic is God's provision and a generous heart, which Roxanne leads to the question, how do you think trusting God's provision and being generous are related?
Well, I think if we believe that God will provide for our needs and we trust him, it'll allow us to hold the money he entrusts to us in an open hand. So when he provides an opportunity and prompts us to be generous, our faith tells us that God will provide.
My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's found in Philippians 4:19, a great promise. I want to go back and talk about those three biblical purposes of money again. You mentioned those earlier in the broadcast, to live, to give, and to grow. Could you elaborate on those?
Sure. First, to live means providing for our living. I mean, the Lord knows that most people need money for housing, clothes, transportation, and such. And he provides for our daily needs. Second is to give. And as we've been talking about, God wants us to give generously and have a desire to share in his work. And third, he wants us to grow the resources that he entrusts to us and to not waste them.
And that, in a sense, is providing for the future, wouldn't you say? In other words, Scripture makes that a priority, that there are certain things that we're to do. I think about the Scripture that says we're to provide for our own family, and if we don't do that, we've denied the faith, according to the Apostle Paul. Now, talk about some of the ways that you actually assist people with their money, Roxanne.
Well, we start by providing a free spending plan to help people get a handle on their costs and expenses and really to understand where their money's going. It helps them plan more effectively for living, giving, and saving. people can request that for free from our website at hisfaithfulstewards.com. They just need to request it on the website and we will email it to them. An email is required to receive it.
Yeah, so it's not, I just want to mention again the importance. You go to hisfaithfulstewards.com and request that free spending plan, and there's no charge for that. But now, once they have gotten that tool, what happens?
Well, once people have a realistic picture of their income and their spending, we can help them put together a long-term plan. For someone in their 30s and 40s, that's going to look quite a bit different than for somebody who's already in their 50s and 60s or even 70s. So we look at age, the time, goals, the plans of things they want to, you know, to accomplish. And then we put together a plan that accomplishes their goals in a way that will best serve their needs, you know, both now and in the long term.
So when you're putting together these plans for individuals or families, what are some of the goals that you typically have in mind?
Well, goals that most people share are things that I keep in front of my mind. These are things like doing our best to find companies that are biblically responsible in their own spending, being sure that our clients will never run out of money, regardless of how long they live, ensuring that they're getting the best possible return on their investments without the risk of loss. I mean, ours have averaged 8 to 14% a year over the last 10 years, and also making sure that the companies with whom we place them are strong and solid financially and that they take good care of their customers. Of course, we always hope that our hard work will earn us their trust and their business.
I guess the obvious question is there any charge for these plans?
Well, no, there's no charge to meet with us. But some people have tried to get the plans from us only to take them to someone else to execute them. Mm. And we do struggle a little bit to understand why someone would want to work with someone who's not put in the time to find the things that we've, you know, dug and found, or that they haven't kept their money safe, or they found haven't found avenues for strong returns on their money. But, you know, people have our blessing if they prefer to keep doing, you know, what they've been doing and working with who they're working with. We encourage them to do that. We just don't provide the information for someone to take to someone else.
Right.
I mean, this is how we make our living. And so we spend a lot of time finding the resources that we offer. So our goal isn't just to hand out information.
Yeah, and it seems to me it's very important for people to respect the effort that you and your team have put into this. It seems to me, again, it's one thing to request that initial plan, and it seems like there are really two different plans that you're talking about here. One is just sort of a chart that you can go through and document your income and expenses. But then when you go beyond that, people reach out to you for one of those, shall we say, very extensive plans that you put together. That requires a great deal of work. So it would be responsible for people to be willing, if you're making that kind of commitment to them, to provide that for them, not to take that somewhere else.
Yeah, we always appreciate that.
Yeah.
So we're perfectly happy to send out the spending plan, and if people want to take that and do something else, that doesn't bother us any.
Yeah, but once you put the time and effort into it, there's no question. And I know for a fact that there are a number of people who are listeners to Encouragement Live who have secured that planning from you and who have worked with you and who are very happy with the fact that they've done that. Now, do you create these kinds of plans for everybody you work with?
Well, not necessarily, not the long detailed plan. It totally depends on their needs. I mean, we have a specialty trust that will defer passive income taxes forever, and it can drastically reduce self-employment taxes. It can be a really useful tool for a successful self-employed person or people with strong investments. I mean, we don't need to do a full inventory to know if these trusts will help people. I mean, imagine having an investment that profits maybe $1 million or more and not owe any taxes on it.
Wow.
Think about a self-employed person who profited $250,000 last year, but owes less than $10,000 in taxes.
Yeah.
I mean, we show people how to implement tools that do things like this.
Yeah, I want to make sure people heard what you just said. You're self-employed, and maybe you made a profit of $250,000, and you owe less than $10,000 in taxes. I want to be sure we heard that correctly. And then perhaps somebody who has built up a retirement account of $1 million or more, and they don't owe any taxes on that. That's the kind of thing you're talking about, correct?
Yes, That's what we have a tool that will do that.
And now there's some other things that fit into the plans that you craft for some of the other people?
Yeah, we do also work with a reputable company that offers gold and silver coins. Because the value of gold and silver usually goes up in value when the market goes down and vice versa, it can be a valuable tool to ensure some stability. The company we work with provides the actual coins. You know, they're pre-1933 coins. They also have some collector's value besides their precious metal value. And they don't have to be reported to the government when they're sold. So, you know, there's the privacy issue that stays intact. And the company guarantees that they'll buy back the coin at market value at any time.
Now, Roxanne, I know of some people who have investments in gold and silver, but they're stored somewhere else and they get a paper statement about their accounts. Do you think that's just as good as what you're talking about?
Well, let me ask you this question.
Okay.
If you were taking a cruise on the Titanic, would you want a life vest or do you want a certificate that says you're entitled to a life vest?
Ooh, number one, I'd rather not get on the Titanic to start with, but I guarantee you I don't want a certificate. I'm not sure that would buoy me up in the Atlantic Ocean, no question about that. I think you've answered the question with a great metaphor. Now, let me see if I have this right. You help people put together a plan that will profit them or provide them with a guaranteed income for the rest of their lives. You help investors and self-employed people drastically reduce their taxes. You also provide a line of gold and silver coins that do not have to be reported to the government, but they help provide stability during turbulent times. Have I covered it? Is that right?
Yep, you've got it.
Now, the investments you're working with don't put a person's money in the stock market. Is that correct?
Yes, yeah, that is correct.
Okay. Now, some people believe the stock market's the only place to really get good returns. I have a feeling you might disagree with that.
Yes, I absolutely disagree. I mean, and I saw this in full force a couple of weeks ago. I already knew, but I didn't have the tangible numbers. I mean, I was chatting with one of my colleagues, and he was telling me about a comparison that he had run for a client of his. The client had put $100,000 into a stock market fund about 20 years ago. Today, his fund is worth around $450,000.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't sound too bad until you compare that same money to one of our investments. Looking at the last 20 years of growth on one of our investments, that same money that grew to $450,000 in the market would have grown to $1.4 million in one of our safe accounts where losses don't have to be figured in.
Now, if I do my math correctly, that's about three times or almost three times the return on investment, which is what people are looking for in this regard, right?
Yes.
So,
yes. And the difference is just not having to recoup for losses.
Yeah. Now, that sounds like good stewardship, I have to say, and that's worth a while. No risk of losing the investment, but terrific growth. Talk about how these investments fit into your beliefs about stewardship, which we talked about before.
Yeah, I personally do not feel that God's happy when we gamble money. And the stock market is always a gamble. And the stock investments with the lowest amount of risk usually don't perform very well. And since I believe the Lord wants us to be wise about what we do with the money that he entrusts to us, safe investments look like good stewardship to me. I mean, there's no gamble, and they've grown really well historically.
Now, some of you, if you've been listening to what Roxanne has been telling us at this point, want to get in touch with her and maybe set up a time to talk with her or to text back and forth with her. You can go to hisfaithfulstewards.com, and there's a place there to set up a time to talk with her, to communicate with her. She also has available these free financial video series of videos will help you learn your options for retirement savings. And again, the place to sign up for those is at hisfaithfulstewards.com. Again, that's a free video series with a short 3 to 5 minute video to help you maximize your retirement money. You can sign up at hisfaithfulstewards.com. And Roxanne, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but if people want to schedule, there's a scheduling feature on your website that will allow people to communicate confidentially and without charge to you relative to their situation. Would that be correct?
Yes, there is a scheduling link. Someone can just hit that link on the website and find a time on the schedule that works for them and schedule it. And when that time comes, I either call them or we jump on Zoom together and we have a conversation.
So that's a great place to start learning more about the specifics of what Roxanne has been telling us about. Some pretty amazing things we've talked about there, things that don't require a huge amount of investment. And we'll come back and talk more about that right after this.
Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarborough on the story of Scripture.
It's a two-day seminar that walks individuals from Genesis to Revelation and tells the grand story of God and what He is doing.
Don't miss your opportunity to find your place in the greatest story ever told.
And we find out by the time we get to the Gospels, it's all about Jesus.
The story of Scripture exists to fuel your passion as a believer toward a journey of deeper engagement in the full narrative of Scripture.
All this Bible that we have, it's all connected, and it's one continuous story that starts in Genesis, but to show the continuity of that is an exciting thing.
To learn more or sign up, visit thestoryofscripture.org. That's thestoryofscripture.org.
Here's a conversation from hisfaithfulstewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to hisfaithfulstewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's hisfaithfulstewards.com.
We're back with Roxanne Indermule of HisFaithfulStewards.com. Our toll-free number, 855-586-5433. Maybe you have a question about a vehicle that provides 8 to 14% return on investment annually speaking without the possibility of loss, or about a specialty trust that could defer passive income taxes forever and drastically reduce self-employment taxes. Or maybe you have a question about investing in gold and silver coins that could be guaranteed to be bought back at market value at any time and don't have to be reported to the government. Roxanne Indermule of HisFaithfulStewards.com telling us about all of those. And Roxanne, we started talking about generosity before we got into some of the specifics of what you're doing. How do you think generosity is impacted by what we do with our own personal investments?
Well, I think it can make a lot of difference in our ability to give. I mean, if our money's in the market and the value drops a significant amount, I mean, let's just say 20%, because it did more than that in some of the big resets recently, we're going to feel a lot of stress about needing to replace that money as soon as possible so we can get back on track with our compounding interest. Consequently, it can leave us feeling less able to give. But if our money is safe and never goes backwards, we don't have the need to make up for losses, and we can have much more freedom to give when needs arise around us. I mean, poor market conditions don't throw us all off course, so it frees us up to be more generous.
Good point to make. And in fact, if you lose 20%, you have to make up that 20%. And if you have a return of 40%, then you know you're talking about a pretty amazing, shall we say, increase there. I've heard you talk about that before. Now, earlier we talked about some of the promises the Lord has made to us about provision. We talked about Matthew 6:33 and God's promise that if we sought first His kingdom and His righteousness, He would provide all that we need. Do you think that giving plays a role in that? Would that fit?
Well, I actually think there's an indirect link. I mean, if we are seeking the Lord first and our hearts are aligned with his heart, we will be moved towards things that move God's heart. And some of the things, you know, that we come across call us to open our wallets. I don't think it's possible to hoard all the money that God entrusts to us and still be seeking the Lord first. Jesus even said that you cannot serve both God and money. So if we're seeking him first, we will want to give to things that support his priorities.
That just reminded me of a parable that Jesus gave about a man who was storing his agricultural resources in barns. And he said, I'm going to have to tear down my barns to build bigger barns. And as I recall, the Lord said, this day your life will be required of you. The comment was that man was not wealthy toward God or not wealthy toward other people.
A good
thing to keep in mind there. Now, some people believe if they give to the Lord's ministries, they'll get back from the Lord all the money they've given. It's kind of like a transaction, sort of a name it and claim it. Do you see that in the Bible anywhere?
Actually, I don't. I don't believe that we can outgive God. But that doesn't mean that God will give back the same way that we have given. It also doesn't guarantee that he will be giving it to us in this life. I mean, we're just on earth here. We're just in training for heaven.
Yeah.
And if we're storing up our treasure in heaven by giving to God now, we may not see all the rewards until we get there.
And that's what the passage that you've been talking about, Matthew 6, talks about. It said, lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt and where thieves don't break through and steal. And he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, Roxanne, I've heard stories about people who've given high percentages of their income to the Lord, and they've experienced great financial blessings in this life. I think about R.G. Letourneau. I've heard him speak in person back when I was a younger person, and he talked about giving up to 90% of his income and living extremely well on 10%. Do you think that works the same way for everybody?
I think we have to be really careful about taking the way the Lord works in one person's life and thinking we can make a rule from it that applies to everyone. I see that happen too many times and people get really disappointed. I mean, it really boils down to us thinking that we can control God. If we do this, then God's going to do that. I've heard this applied to giving, where people take God's promises for provision and give way beyond their means with the belief that God's going to give it all back to them. But instead of giving with a generous heart, they're really giving to receive back. And I don't think that's what the Lord's looking for in our giving. And really, that just becomes a way that we think we can manipulate God into doing something that we want. So I think we have to be really careful.
Yeah, it sounds like a transaction that somebody's trying to make. And somehow, God, I'm holding you accountable. But now when we talk about giving, it seems to me we need to be careful about what kinds of programs and ministries that are responsible places of giving. Could you talk to us about that?
Sure. I'll give you some ideas I have, and you probably have some good ideas, too, on that, because, you know, researching ministries can be challenging at times.
Sure, yeah.
But I think it can vary a lot from person to person, too. Personally, I feel that we need to support our local church ministries to start with.
Amen to that. Yes. Amen.
if we're receiving teaching and spiritual benefits from the church, we need to contribute to helping the staff get paid. After that, I look for ministries that are building the kingdom of heaven, maybe a radio ministry like this one, or an organization that is taking the gospel to poor countries and maybe providing for people's basic needs. But any ministry that is focused on building the kingdom of God in some fashion, I think is worth considering, praying about, and, you know, looking into. There may be some local organizations that are reaching out to serve needs in our communities that we might want to support. But for me, it's just as important it's really important that the money that I give goes to organizations that are bringing the good news of Jesus along with whatever their services are.
Yes, and I would totally agree with that. And just, something that we need to pray about, that we need to investigate carefully and determine even talking to people about it. I strongly agree that we start with our local church. That's been the commitment that Kathy and I have made since we've been married. And my dad taught me that. I remember something. I think I've told you this story before. When I had my first job, I was making $2 a day in a service station. station, plus flats and wash jobs, working about 10 hours a day. And so, as you can tell, that's not a lot of money. And I was driving a 52 Hudson, and I got my first paycheck, and my dad said, "Son, do you plan on giving 10% of that to the Lord?" And I said, "You know, I'm just, Dad, I can't afford to." And his answer to me was, "Son, you really can't afford not to." So, very important principle there. I know at the Worship Channel, we are actually touching people. We have more listeners in India than we have in the United States, if you can imagine that. And we're on 24/7 sharing the gospel and communicating on internet radio, theworshipchannel.org. And I'm grateful for folks that are giving. Now, do you think there's a set amount that people need to be giving?
Well, this is always an interesting question because there's a lot of opinions about this. And I hope I don't ruffle too many feathers here.
Okay.
In the Old Testament, people were commanded to give 10%. That was the law and it was concrete. But we're no longer under the law. In the New Testament, we see a call for sacrificial giving. And I don't actually see a percentage stated. We see the widow's mite that we talked about earlier. That's far more than 10%. We talked about the Macedonian believers that gave beyond their means, making great sacrifices. So I think we need to guard against the idea of setting an amount that we have to give and think more about following the Spirit in our giving and being willing to give however much the Lord leads us to give.
Boy, does that ever fit with that passage in 2 Corinthians 9, not grudging nor of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. Very important principle. Let's talk to Dennis tonight, calling us from Missouri. Go ahead, Dennis. Good to hear from you.
Good evening, y'all. I'm in my 70s and no, I don't have anything saved. I had a lot of ups and downs and everything. And I'm just now, I have a decent income and I'm working my way out of debt. I'm almost there. And then I'm just kind of wondering, how do I need to do? What do I need to do at my age? I'm 73. And just to try to rebuild and have some kind of a savings or something down the road, because I don't know how many more years I got to live and I want to have a little bit saved.
Oh, Dennis, I'm so glad you called us tonight, and we're going to pray for you and with you. Roxanne, we have a couple of minutes here. What would you share with Dennis?
Well, I think it's always important to save. If you have the ability to be saving now, I think it's really important that you do that because, you know, none of us knows what's coming up ahead. So if you can set some aside, if you have any set aside before, you know, that you've set aside previously, you want to be sure that you're getting good returns on that in a way that it's not going to, you know, be at risk. But the main thing is to begin to set some aside so it will be there when you need it.
You know, I can't help thinking that Dennis might benefit from that spending plan thing, the item that people can request from you. It's sort of a budget plan. I know people don't like the word budget, but it seems to me, Roxanne, that that's something that Dennis would benefit from. And
yes, I think that could be helpful. Kind of the real difference between a budget and a spending plan is a spending plan is really assessing where everything is at and you know, where do we need to get to, where, you know, a budget is just basically, here's the money, this is where everything's going to go, and it feels like it controls us. A spending plan is really something you're going to put in place to see what the needs are so that you feel more in charge of your money.
Couple of things, Dennis. You can find that spending plan at hisfaithfulstewards.com. And also, I would encourage you to make this a matter of prayer. And we want to pray with you and for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for Dennis. What a joy to talk with him tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help him to get out of debt. And then, Lord, that you would provide for him as he moves ahead, that he might be able to put some aside for the future. Thank you that we were able to share this burden with him this evening. And we pray your provision in Jesus' name. Amen. Dennis, thank you for your call.
Thank you all. God bless. Take care.
You too. God bless. Yeah, what a joy. Roxanne, thank you so much. Great insights tonight. And again, I want to remind folks about the provision that you've made with those videos. People can get those videos, and you'll find those very practical and helpful. They're at hisfaithfulstewards.com. There's a series of them. They're short, 3 to 5 minutes, help you maximize your retirement money. For Roxanne Indermule, I'm Don Hawkins. Thank you for joining us, and good night from Encouragement Live.